Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. One of the really beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran is numerous times He mentions the virtue and the nobility and the strength and the balance and the perfection in design that He has gifted to the human creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention, for example, you know, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that we have given ikram, we have given honor and dignity and nobility to the child of Adam, right, to the men and women on this earth. He'll mention that He created us فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ, in the best of molds, in the best of fashions, in the best of ways. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us because it's part of the human condition to appreciate, number one, what Allah has given you, but number two, to appreciate the good that you have within yourself. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah says that if you find any goodness from your Lord, then you should proclaim it. That we shouldn't be people who beat ourselves up or say that, you know, human beings are evil or inherently bad, because this is not what Allah has said about us. So we affirm and we confirm and we appreciate the fact that Allah has given us an incredible experience as human beings. I mean, imagine being a bacteria. Right? I'm like, oh, it'd suck, right? But along with that appreciation and that confirmation and affirmation of Allah's goodness and how He created us, He also says that He made us da'if. He also comments and says, you know, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ دَعِيفًا, that He has made human beings weak. He also tells us that we are always in a state of work. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that we're always working towards something, we're always stressed out. He gives us certain characteristics that when something happens to us, when we get hit by some calamity, we struggle, we recoil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us one thing about ourselves, and then He says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا, right? You love money with this weird kind of love. So He gives us some honest assessment also of where we're going to have our speed bumps, where we're going to have our potholes. One of the things that we find time and time again about the human experience, and Allah teaches us this about ourselves, is that we are very easily distracted. We are a creation that becomes enamored. We fall in love with illusions, almost like when you're driving on a highway and you see that water in front of you, only to get to that point and you realize that it was just a mirage. You know, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What, when He's talking to humankind and, you know, He's mentioning, this is, you know, after He mentions so many favors He's given us, He asks a very powerful question. And it almost sounds, when you read it, it feels like a question of someone who loves somebody that you would ask to somebody when you see them hurting themselves. You know, the tone of this language is one that's not, it's not, you know, accusative. It's not someone indicting somebody. It's not someone, you know, interrogating somebody. This question that Allah asks is a question of love. O humankind, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ, what has stolen your eyes? What has, you know, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf language, beguiled you? What has tricked you? What has tricked you away from your Lord? And then He gives Himself the adequate description for that moment, Al-Kareem, the most generous. Because generosity is something, and you've known this, you've known in your life when you've been generous with somebody, and then that person has dedicated themselves to other than you. So you've had a relationship, a friendship, a family, you know, investment, where you've dedicated, you've been generous, you've gone above and beyond. And then maybe that person turns around after receiving your generosity and has become, the object of their devotion has become somebody else. And the question that you have to ask them, lovingly, because you love them, is how did that person win you over? That person hasn't done nearly as much as what I've done for you. Right? It's like when I feed Musa, change his diaper, give him a bath, and then he runs to his aunt. I'm like, what on earth just happened? Right? Were you not here the last 4 hours that I just took care of you, right? There's a natural sense of hurt, of disappointment, when one gives and does not get back. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not hurt by us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us to worship, but He's almost disappointed in the sense that He knows that whatever it is that we've distracted ourselves from Him will never treat us as good as Him. It's like when you know that you have a friend who's devoted to somebody else, and you know that that friend is never going to be treated the way that they deserve in that relationship, whether it's, you know, friendship or romantic, whatever. And so Allah Ta'ala teaches us this about ourselves, that we are very easily distracted. We have this capacity to become convinced by the mirage, to put our certainty in the illusion. And something that MashaAllah Hafiz Faraz read tonight really illustrates this in a very powerful way. The story in Surah Taha when Musa alayhi salam meets the magicians. And what's interesting about these magicians is that the tafsir, Ibn Kathir and others, Imam Razi and others, they actually say that these magicians were not like magicians' magicians in the way that we think of magic when you're younger. But when you get older, you understand magic as being what? An illusion, a sleight of hand. So when you're younger, you're like, oh my God, this person's Dajjal. Like, you know, like, what? Who's that guy? What's that guy? The famous one? Chris Angel, David who? David Blaine. When you're younger, you're like, this guy is Shaitan in the flesh. Like, I know it, right? You know, you just start saying 786 over and over and over again when you see him. Which Arabs are like, I don't get that joke. So you see that and you think, oh my gosh, this guy is actually like creating matter out of nothing. Then you get older and you start to maybe go on YouTube and watch these behind the scenes videos and you realize that he's just incredibly gifted at the art of illusion. And so the tafsir, even though these people are known as the magicians, that's almost like the societal title that they were given. And they were used by Fir'aun to leverage and establish and keep his power. Why? Because human beings are easily what? Tricked. Right? So that's our weakness. Remember that. And so there's actually a really interesting story in Ibn Kathir that talks about Fir'aun, in order to keep his power, one of the ways that they would trick the community is they would have a day during the week in which any person who owned a cow or like an animal could bring their animal to Fir'aun's court, to his palace. And then Fir'aun would say, okay, give me your animal, I will take it. And the animal obviously is, the reason why it's being brought is because it's sick. So you could bring any of your sick animals to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun as a king, almost like as a gesture of generosity towards his kingdom, would say, I will cure your cow for you. And what he would do, in reality, the magicians and the people that he had around him, his court, is they would take this cow that was brought to them, they would take it back to the, you know, the storehouse or the stable, and they would find a cow that looked similar, that was healthy, and they would then replace the old cow, the sick one, with the one that was looking similar, that was healthy, and the person would leave the court pleased, but none the wiser. So it got so bad, and this is so interesting. In the beginning, obviously, everyone was in on it. Fir'aun knew that it was a trick. The magicians knew it was a trick. Everyone knew that there was no actual healing happening. It was just a swap. It was a sleight of hand. But it got so strong, and this is the nature of illusion, is that, and the nature of any lie, really, is that it gets so strong that actually a person can grow to believe their own illusion. Even if they were on the back, and they can start to actually feel like, hey, you know what? I actually have the power to do what I'm doing. And so what ended up happening was they had run low on their stock of cows, and a person came to the court of Pharaoh. And the magicians and the rest of the council, the cabinet, so to speak, who knew that they didn't have enough cows to make this work anymore, told Pharaoh, hey, we don't have what it takes to make, we can't heal anymore, right? Our powers are broken, right, temporarily. And Pharaoh was so invested into this illusion that he actually was like, what are you talking about? I heal the cow, right? Like, they give me the cow, I give it to you, I heal. And رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I'm God, right? And the sorcerers were like, no. I don't think you, okay. Like, they were all genuinely concerned within one another, like, holy, this guy actually thinks he heals these cows. And so what ended up happening was they had this day, and they had this, like, really serious moment where Pharaoh basically showed, and this is in the tafsir, that he actually illustrated that he, over time, had been so delusional that he in the beginning knew it was a complete setup, but by the end of it he had become so arrogant through his praise and adulation that he received from his people that he actually thought he was healing. So this was the status of the magician in the time of Pharaoh. To keep the power of Pharaoh, to reaffirm the masses' certainty in the power of their leader. And so you have now Musa, who's been sent by Allah to go and not challenge per se, although obviously it is a challenge, but to go and correct and rectify the belief system and the oppression that this Pharaoh is putting his people through. And so he goes to Pharaoh and he, you know, pronounces his message, and there is basically a duel that is presented, that if you are truly a prophet, then I'm going to set you up in a duel. Thank you. I'm going to set you up in a duel versus, versus my magicians. And what ends up happening is there ends up being this challenge, and they say, you know, okay, who's going to go first? And Musa says, you go first. And so the magicians, who again are magicians, but they know that they're really what? Just really good illusionists, right? They know that they're very, I may have made that word up. They just know that they're very good at illusion. They take this rope that they have in their hand and they throw it down. Or they take this object that they have in their hand, they throw it down. And it starts to, you know, wriggle in the sand and it starts to appear like a snake. And the illusion was actually so strong that Allah tells us in the Quran that Musa alayhi salam actually became concerned. Like internally, like, oh God, they just did it. These guys are for real. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to Musa alayhi salam, don't worry, just throw what you have, and what you have will consume what they have. And when Musa submitted to Allah, threw down what he had, and it consumed the snakes that they had thrown, the immediate response of the magicians was what? Sujood, not just sajda, but Allah uses the verb alqiya. They threw themselves to the ground. The magicians actually threw, you can imagine now the power with which they made sajda. It wasn't like a nice calm sajda, like, huh, okay, you win. All right, right? They were so overcome when they had met and engaged with truth that they fell to the ground face first and they said, we accept the Lord of Harun and Musa. Why am I telling this story? We all have magicians in our life. We're the people who live under Pharaoh. We've bought into a lot of illusions. We've been tricked. We think that money will make us happy. We think that status, we think that that relationship that's outside the bounds of Islam will make us happy. We think that that drug, we think that that lifestyle, we think that certain things will make us happy. We've bought into this. And the magicians are the ones who are showing us these illusions. In the beginning, we knew that they were just illusions. We knew that they weren't real happiness. But now, when you've gone to a certain point, you actually think that it's going to really make you happy. So you start to devote yourself. You start to invest yourself. You start to throw everything you've got towards these paths. And you reach a certain point on this journey and you realize, you know what? I was convinced that this was going to make me happy, but it's not. Ramadan is a month where Allah Ta'ala, just like He showed the magicians and the entire court of Fir'aun what truth looks like, Ramadan is a month where we come face to face with truth. We're shown that not eating and not drinking can make us happy. We're shown that standing up for 45 minutes can make us happy. Praying, not just standing, right? We're shown that reading the Quran, which we don't connect with throughout the rest of the year, can make us very happy. We're shown that charity can make us happy. We're shown that being grateful can make us happy. We're shown that community makes us happy. These are the things that Allah shows to us. And just like those magicians had to have their moment where they were engaged with reality and truth, and their response was ultimately to submit, the question begs to be asked, when we are engaged with this truth in this month, how many of us are going to say, you know what? Allah's right. The magicians had their moment of truth, and they said, this is the truth. And they threw themselves to the ground in submission. But one thing I will say is that what did Allah say about Musa when he saw the illusion happening in front of him? What did Musa feel in his heart? He felt nervous. He was fearful. That's how strong the illusion of dunya can be. Even a prophet of God who has spoken to Allah, who has been sent by Allah, can see this illusion in front of his face. And although his mind knows absolutely without a doubt this is just a sleight of hand, his heart shakes. That's how strong the dunya can be. We know. I know. I've seen the videos. I've read the reports. I've read the studies. I've experienced it. I know that this thing will not make me happy with a capital H. I know it won't make me feel fulfilled. I know it. If you asked me, in fact, I'm so confident in it that if someone else came and asked for advice, I would tell them, it's not going to make you happy. But when it comes to be my turn, my heart starts to shake. That's how strong this dunya can be. So this Ramadan, the challenge that we're going to have is that we are going to be engaged with our moment of truth. For the magicians, it was seeing the actual truth come to life. For us, it's going to be experiencing what actually gives us fulfillment, what actually makes us happy, what actually makes us feel whole. And that is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created any man or jinn except that they worship. And the best way to understand worship in this verse is not like it's a burden, not like it's a responsibility, but that it's like a nourishment. It's almost like how we say human beings cannot live except that they have to have water. If a human being doesn't have water for an extended amount of time, what happens? They dehydrate and they'll eventually die. That's the way we see worship. Worship is like water. Worship is not like carrying heavy bags. It's not like lifting weights. It's not like doing things that hurt you. Worship is like drinking water when all you want to have is Sprite and Coke and Pepsi and juice, but you know that you need water. It's that refreshing, rejuvenating substance that you need. So we're being now engaged with the act of worship, and now we have to have our magician moment. Are we going to stand defiant saying, you know what, I'm going to trust this illusion even though I know in my mind and heart that this is not reality? Or are we going to fall to the ground in sajda saying, I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to be courageous and accept Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to submit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to recognize truth as truth and give us the strength to follow it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see falsehood as falsehood and give us the courage and wisdom and strength to stay away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see everything as it is, so that we can make decisions that lead us to Him and on the straight path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.